May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the book of the Proverbs, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. So Proverbs chapter 3 and reading verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, I'm sure that every true believer desires that Almighty God will indeed direct their paths. How important it is to realize that God is directing us. Indeed, every moment of our life, and we're not being left to ourselves. So, in order for this to be accomplished, we read there are three conditions here in these two verses. First of all, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Secondly, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then thirdly, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And then the Lord says, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, it's quite easy to read three conditions like this. It's not quite so easy to actually live them out and walk them out. And yet we can be sure that what the Lord sets before us here is good and right and beneficial. And what a blessing it is for you and me to come in with this first request. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that means what it says. It means it's not a divided heart. It's not a heart that wants to serve the Lord and then also wants to serve the things of this world. We're told, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the things of time. And yet you see by nature how often we try and do just that. Well, the word of God is very clear. And it's important for us to realize the benefit it is of so doing. Because if God gives us grace to trust in the Lord with all our heart, then we can believe he will direct our paths. And that really means that we don't have preconceived ideas. It really means we don't have our own plans, but we come and we commit ourselves unto the Lord. What a blessing it is when we can come and truly commit our way unto the Lord. You may remember there's many occasions in the Psalms where these words of direction are given, and we won't go through them all tonight, be here a long time, but just one or two. And in Psalm 37, the Psalm of David. And David often needed the Lord's direction in his life. He didn't have an easy life. He was chased around by Pharaoh, went from one place to another, and the enemies came against him. And yet, you see, he was able to commit his way to the Lord, to seek counsel of his God. And God so often wonderfully appeared for him and answered him. Well, in this 37th Psalm, we are told this in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Again, it's a mercy, isn't it? If God gives us grace to do just that, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, to commit our way unto the Lord. You know, easy words, aren't they? Not quite so easy to do. Especially if perhaps the Lord leads us in a way that we don't really want. Well, the Lord knows what is best for us. And again, it's good to come and recognize that we are to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And to be willing to do his will. And so to come and recognize the greatness of this truth. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, God knows what we have in our lives. God knows what pathway we're walking in. Probably only you and God know the particular path that the Lord has caused you to be in at the present time. And therefore, you find that you're wanting God to direct your paths, and he shall direct thy paths. It is wonderful to know that we have a God who gives us positive promises. Positive promises. And here we have this positive word here, and he shall direct thy paths. And again, just to recognize that the path that God provides for us, the path that the Lord directs us to walk in, is often not the path that we would choose. Indeed, not the way that we think would be best for us. It's so easy for us to come to a conclusion. What we have to realize is this: God knows the end from the beginning, and you and I don't. All we know is the actual moment, the time that we're in now. And we don't know what the future holds. And we may think, well, we need God to do this, and we need God to direct us in this, and then we'll be okay. Well, let's come to this position to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. Again, let's remind ourselves, with all thine heart. With all thy heart, not a divided heart. To come in prayer. You know, sometimes I hope we do pray. The Lord will direct us. The Lord will open the way. And it's a blessing, therefore, if we come in that way, desiring the Lord will direct us and make us submissive in the day of his power to walk in his way. Because if we walk in that way, if the Lord directs us, we can be sure it will be the right way and a good way. And what we must always realize is that we're on this earth only for a short time. We're passing through this earth. And it's a great blessing if we're on pilgrimage, that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is not our rest. Our great concern is to be directed by God so that we walk in that right way, which brings us at last to that heavenly city of glory. And sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to just take us aside, as it were, and clearly show to us the vast difference between time and eternity. How easy it is to concentrate our little lives on the things of time. What a blessing it is if God gives us grace to concentrate on the things of eternity, so that we're more concerned about our spiritual life than we are about our natural life. I wonder how many of us tonight can say, well, I can honestly say that I do desire that the Lord may lead me, especially with regard to my spiritual life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, believing that all other things, all other necessary things, will be added unto us. What a blessing to be directed by our gracious God to that heavenly city, and to be directed and blessed day by day and instructed in the journey. I'm sure you have heard of, and some of you may have read, Pilgrim's Progress, and especially the journey of Christian. And Christian set out from the town destruction was there, and he left that city and he went on a journey, and it wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't an easy journey, but it brought him at last safe home to the celestial city. And our eyes should be fixed upon our eternal home. Often they're fixed upon our natural home. Well, what a mercy it is if we are given grace to seek our eternal home, those things which are above, where Christ is, and that place of eternal happiness. You see, whatever the Lord permits us to receive on this earth, and we should be very thankful what God gives to us. It's fading. It's passing. A few years and it will be gone. Be gone. The place that knows us will know us no more. And we shall then be in that eternal place, which means we shall be there for ever and ever. And what an amazing blessing to be found in glory with the Saviour in that place of eternal happiness, with no sin and no sorrow, and praising our Saviour for all that he's done. Now then, we have these words before us to encourage us, because the devil is very subtle, and the devil would have us concentrate on our natural life. He doesn't want you and me to concentrate on our spiritual life. He wants us to find our happiness on this earth. But the happiness of a true pilgrim is to come. The Lord does grant happiness to his church on this earth, but it is in measure, because there is that eternal happiness which the Lord has provided for all his people, as he tells us so very clearly. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the word of the Saviour. That's the promise of God. And how wonderful it is, and how encouraging it is. And so we need to trust in the Lord that he will indeed direct our paths. Well, may we all have that real God-honoring desire to be found walking in that way, and have the desire, as David said, to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he goes on in the 7th verse, and he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, we're often impatient, aren't we? We want everything to appear now. Well, says David, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We're not to fret. The psalm begins with those words. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It's good sometimes to remember such words of instruction God has given us, to put things into a right context. And so what a mercy tonight if we're able to come and trust in the Lord again with all our heart, not a divided heart. And so often it is that we do have a divided heart, don't we? It's very easy to find ourselves sidetracked to the poor things of this world. We spoke recently on the 11th of Hebrews. And in the 11th of Hebrews, there's a very wonderful word of direction for the church of God, and we should be very thankful for the word of God. And this is what it says in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God," that means he that trusteth in God, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, coming to God in this way, with all our heart, trusting the Lord with all our heart, all thine heart, means to come diligently. Come diligently. And sometimes we just need to come aside and sit before the Lord. You may remember years ago in David's case, when he had a real problem, what did he do? He came and he sat before the Lord. I wonder if you've ever come and sat before the Lord and poured out your heart to him and saw that he would indeed direct you, and that you might be able to put all your trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, that's really very similar, isn't it, to these words. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, that means the Lord doesn't turn aside and forget about you. It's encouraging, isn't it, to know here that we have a God who is a rewarder, not of any goodness in ourselves, but it's because God gives us that grace to believe that we are coming to the Almighty God, the ruler of the universe. And let us realize God holds everything in his hand. He holds the heart of all men and women in his hand. Sometimes people think they are in control of their own destiny. Reality is they're not. The reality is that God is in control. And what a mercy, therefore, for us tonight if we recognize this. We want the Lord to come and to direct us, to direct our paths. He shall direct our paths, and to then come in this way. First of all, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, I wonder tonight if we're able to come before God and say, "Well, Lord, thou knowest my real concern, my real desire is to put all my trust in thee and to leave the issue with thee, that thou would indeed direct me, and that thou wilt therefore give me that grace to come casting all my care upon thee, trusting in thyself." What a blessing it is then if we have such a God and we're able then to come to him like that and to realize that we have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. Well, don't forget these 3 points here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So often, you know, we tend to forget to acknowledge our God. And what a mercy it is when God gives us grace to acknowledge our God and to walk humbly before him. It's a great and wonderful blessing if you and I are able to do just that. There's some glorious truths and glorious words really in the Old Testament which we shouldn't pass over. It's very easy to pass over those words in the Old Testament. But we have a word in the Chronicles which is a word of instruction to the Church of God. And it's spoken to none less than Solomon. And this is what is said in verse 9 of chapter 28, the first of Chronicles. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Perhaps sometimes we do have imaginations. We see a situation and we think, well, that looks rather pleasant. and it's an imagination. We don't know. And understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, remember, we're encouraged, seek and ye shall find. Seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee out forever. Well, he goes on. He says, take heed now. The Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. And he finally says very similar words to what we had before us last Sunday morning. Be strong and do it. Remember, those are the words that Mary said to the servants with the guards of the water pots. Do what the Lord said to them. And here we have these words again tonight. Be strong and do it. See, not always the things appear easy. And we need the help and we need the support of Almighty God. And so here we have then such a statement. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Again, we mustn't forget what it says. It doesn't just say trust in the Lord in a kind of casual way. It's very easy just to say, oh, well, I trust in the Lord. But it may not be with all our heart. No, because that means what it says, committing our way totally to God and leaving the issue with him. It's not always easy, especially when you seem to be led in a completely different way to what you expected. He shall direct our paths. Don't forget that positive statement. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. You see, there is a way that seemeth right, but it may not be right. It may be totally wrong. As you follow the life of David, and it's good to follow the life of David, you will find that on a number of occasions the enemy was before David, and David prayed to the Lord whether he should pursue or whether he should not. And sometimes the Lord said pursue, and sometimes he was told not to pursue. You see, he obeyed the word of Almighty God. He listened to his word, and God was with him. He didn't leave him to his own understanding. What a mercy then it is that we're not left to lean unto our own understanding. And just ponder those words really. Leaning means to rely on something, doesn't it? You know, if you're feeling tired and something, and you may lean on something to support you. You may need some support sometimes. Well, we're not to lean to our own understanding, which we think might give us some encouragement and some support. No, we are to rely upon God, that he will indeed appear for us. And lean not unto thine own understanding. These words are recorded here purely because, left to ourselves, we will lean to our own understanding. We'll look around and we'll see the path and we think, that path's too difficult, I'm not going down that road. This path is easy, I'll go down that road. Well, if you follow the word of God, and again, if you follow the path that Christian walked in the Pilgrim's Progress, you'll find that one road is narrow and difficult, and one road is broad and easy. And the devil wants you to walk in the broad road, which is nice and easy. But it's that road which ends in destruction. Whereas the narrow way has many obstacles and many difficulties. But the difference is, if God is with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? It may appear to be a narrow way. It may appear to be a difficult way. But if God is with us, if God is for us, no one will be able to prevail against us, because we're trusting in the Lord and we're leaning not unto our own understanding. What a mercy there if God is gracious to us and gives us this clear direction and this clear blessing. What a mercy. We have a God who is ever gracious, you know, and ever mindful of us. He's never asleep. He's always alert. And what a wonderful thing that is, to know that we have such a God. Well, Jeremiah didn't have an easy life either. And it's good, really, that we have so many examples of godly men in the Word of God who had a difficult life, but they had a good end. They got safe home to glory, and that's what you and I should be desiring when we hear such a word as this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And Jeremiah was given wonderful words of instruction. There's some very beautiful words in the book of Jeremiah. You shouldn't pass over it. You should try and read it. Some it's hard to read, but nonetheless, press on. And in the 9th chapter, in verse 23, this is what we read: thus saith the Lord. And that's good, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord. It doesn't say, thus saith so-and-so. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Again, we can often look to ourselves, look to our own understanding. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Well, that's a word of instruction, isn't it? What do we glory in? Do we glory in our own ability? Do we glory in what we've done? Do we glory in the prospects, perhaps, of the future? And yet here, Jeremiah, a man of God, tells us, yes, that we're not to glory in wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. What a blessing, my friends, for you and me, to understand the great and glorious way of salvation. To understand the great and glorious plan that God has put in place, and to have an understanding that he has gone before to prepare a place for us. That's what we are to glory in. Let him that glorieth glory in this, and he understandeth. That means that God's given us a spiritual understanding. You see, natural understanding will fade away. When we die, natural understanding will go. It'll die with us. We won't be able to take with us any natural understanding. People have been very brilliant in their ability. It all disappears. But what a mercy if we have a spiritual understanding. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's the great blessing that you and I need. To know the Lord. To know Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a wonderful favour that is. And so we have, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But to have that spiritual sight, those spiritual eyes given to us to realize that this world is fading and this world is passing, but there is a rest that remains for the people of God in glory, to be found with the Saviour eternally. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? And a wonderful prospect, and I hope it is. Because these things are spiritually discerned. They're spiritual understanding. They're not natural understanding. Naturally, we won't understand spiritual things. We may have some idea, but the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant, that covenant of his grace to unworthy sinners. Oh, praise God tonight. If the Lord has come and shown you that blessed secret of his covenant of grace, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Well, tonight, can we stand by the grace of God and say, I thank God and I praise God that he has revealed himself to me as it is not unto the world. He's revealed himself to me as my great and glorious Saviour, as that one who has redeemed my soul, that one who shed his precious blood upon the cross at Calvary so that I might be freed from the condemnation of the law, which says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, something to glory in, isn't it? Something to understand, something which is eternally blessed. So says Jeremiah, but let him that glorieth glory in this. This is what you and I want to glory in, not in our natural attainments, not in the things that we haven't possessed, but in what the Lord has revealed to us with regard to our lost condition and regard to that glorious salvation. Well, where do we stand tonight? Have we this right and spiritual understanding? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but to have received this blessed spiritual understanding which emanates from our God, to be able to rejoice in it. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Indeed, our Lord delights in the work of his own hands. What a mercy, my friends, tonight, to have the evidence in our heart that we possess the work of the Lord's hands upon us. The Lord has come to us. As we spoke this morning, he's found us. What a mercy if he's found us, he's sought us, and he's found us. What a blessing and what a mercy. So can we not therefore rejoice in these great and glorious truths and come tonight and praise God indeed, from whom all blessings flow. And just following on in this same prophecy, Jeremiah, and in the 10th chapter, that previous one was the 9th chapter, it's the 10th chapter and verse 23. O Lord, says Jeremiah, I know. I know. Jeremiah knew. What a mercy if you and I know. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You and I can't direct our steps naturally in a right way. That's why we have this desire set before us here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, what a mercy if God has given us a spiritual understanding, that we do understand, therefore, the way of salvation. We do rejoice in what Christ has done. And to be able to come and say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's a good foundation. My friends, may we be on that foundation. And may we have the evidence of it in our own soul, so that we can rejoice tonight. And if you and I can rejoice, it brings peace to our soul. We may be like a troubled sea, a stormy sea, and everything seems to be against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Rest in the Lord. And so I have these words here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then we're told, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. How often we fail, don't we, to acknowledge what the Lord has done, how the Lord has directed us, how the Lord has blessed us. What a wonderful mercy it is if we have the wonderful evidence that God is with us and God is helping us and God is not leaving us to ourselves. You may remember we have the wonderful little book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah teaches us a number of things. And you may remember in the second chapter there was that time of the wine was before the king, and the cupbearer came and he took up wine, took up the cup and gave it to the king. And we're told, now I had not been before time sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? Now remember, here was Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, in the presence of the king, and he'd been asked this question, and we're told what he did. I hope you remember what he did. It's a very wonderful statement what we read. This is what he did. So I prayed to the God of heaven. There he was before the king. He got a question to answer, and he prayed to the God of heaven. What does that mean? That means that there's no situation in our lives when we cannot pray to the God of heaven. God is in every place. God hears every word that we say, whether audibly or through our minds. And here we have this example of this godly man in the presence of the king praying to the God of heaven. Well, and therefore he said unto the king, if it please the king, and thy servant have found grace in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father, sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. You see, God has the hearts of all men in his hand, and we should never forget that. And so here we have this statement, all thy ways acknowledge him. This man Nehemiah, in the presence of the king, still prayed to God. Perhaps some of you have known what it is. In a difficult situation, to pray to God. And he's heard and answered your prayer. He hasn't cast you off. He hasn't cast you aside. But he's been gracious to you and been mindful of you. In the first chapter of Nehemiah, we read also about Nehemiah praying. And he says this, O Lord, I beseech thee. I beseech you. That means he prayed very urgently. It wasn't just some casual prayer, hoping the Lord would somehow hear. It was a very urgent prayer. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. What a mercy if God gives us grace to not be ashamed of our religion. And so here we have this statement here before us. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways. This man Nehemiah acknowledged who he was, and he had a God who he worshipped. You see, we should not expect God to answer our prayers if we deny him, or if we go about acting as though we're not a Christian. We go about without demonstrating that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's good to demonstrate and to say who we believe in and who we trust, and to have this wonderful evidence and hope, our God will hear us. And so in all thy ways acknowledge him. And again, the word is comprehensive, isn't it? It doesn't say, well, if you really get in a strait and it's really difficult, then you better acknowledge the Lord. It doesn't say that. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. How God glorifying that is. It may not be easy to our flesh. In fact, it probably won't be easy to our flesh, but I'll tell you this, we have the answer of a good conscience. We know what the Word of God tells us. Those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And so here we are desiring that the Lord will come and direct our paths. I hope we all desire that in everything. The Lord will come and direct our paths. And therefore, are we trusting in the Lord? Don't forget, with all our heart. Secondly, are we leaning to our own understanding? The word tells us, lean not unto thine own understanding. That means casting all our care upon our God. And then, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. What a Saviour we've got. A great and glorious Saviour who hasn't denied us, who hasn't turned away from us, hasn't turned his back upon us. We have a God hearing and a God who answers prayer. And so we're told here, then in all thy ways acknowledge him. And finally the answer. And he shall direct thy paths. That's a promise. My friends, there are many promises in the Word of God. And what a blessing it is when you and I can lay hold of those promises and bring them before our God. But don't forget, there are these conditions. Gracious conditions. And you and I should desire to walk in them, be found doing God's will, desiring to honour and glorify his great and wonderful name, to think that he has given his life, a debt that you and I can never repay, a great debt that we owe. And therefore, to not forget those words, those that honour me, I will honour. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.